Abate la rimette dentro, esce Radu, porta vuota. Gol! Gol! Abbiamo battuto il gatto nero! Li abbiamo battuti tutti, Alessio! Grande Alessio! È bella la vita! Lava quella zolla, Alessio! Lavala quella zolla, Alessio!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined live and direct on video by Anthony Torgerud.
Yeah, we're trying something new here, pretty exciting. So excuse laughter, you know, I'm not used to staring at these guys' ugly mugs as we do this. But, you know, follow me on Twitter at Torgerud45, and we obviously have Madison as well.
I mean, you guys should be lucky to be graced with this, you know. You guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, this is good. I mean, I can see your pup in the background there, AJ. It looks like we've got an official mascot for this first episode on video. So,
yeah, he's just staring out the window.
Yeah, man, leave him to it. It's all good. So, yeah, forgot to mention my Twitter in all this chaos. So, at Ollie Fisher, go follow that. And in the meantime, I guess we might as well jump straight into it. We had a game this weekend, played Napoli at San Siro on Saturday night. And I didn't get to watch it. I went to watch Huddersfield draw 1-1 with Birmingham. So you can imagine how fun my day was.
Sounds exciting.
He did a free kick with like 5 minutes to go, but you know, that happens. And then, yeah, it was just on my way home checking the scores coming in and stuff. So we went 1-0 down to Irving Lozano goal. And then saw we equalised through Bonaventura and was just expecting all through that second half for it to come up that we lost 2-1 or, you know, but it didn't happen. We got a draw. I've seen the game back since. And I thought we were good value for a draw.
Yeah, I'd say it was one of our better performances. Obviously, I think the Juventus game was still our best showing this season, even though that was a loss. But we're continuing to improve under Pioli, and you know, I'm happy to, I guess, eat my foot in this situation because I said it was never going to happen and we were only going to get worse. But we've clearly improved under him, and I'm happy to see it. I think we stand a really good chance of getting the next 9 points because Pioli's hardest stretch is through. He's done the hard work. And we may not have got a lot of results, but we got a lot of performance improvement. And I think everyone agrees with that, that we've looked better and better. But focusing on the Napoli game specifically, we looked fantastic. I thought within the first 20 minutes, it looked like we were going to be unstoppable, that we were dominating. But as always, a collective of individual errors led to a wild goal there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, props to them for finishing it. That's exactly what a team's supposed
Bit
to do.
Bit of a fluke, though. That happens, like, once a season.
It's, you know, except this season it seems like it happens once a game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but besides that, you know, we obviously bounced back. They scored in the 24th, and I think we returned it in the 29th with Bonaventura, and it was a fantastic goal. Also fantastic pass from I believe it was Krunic to get that off to him. So the whole team looked good. It was once the substitutions came in that our performances went down, and none of those substitutions would have really happened if we weren't in kind of an injury/suspension crisis. You know, we had Suso not able to start. Rebic had to warm up or come on for him because Suso got injured in the warm-ups, and then Rebic got injured in the 18th minute. Played till the 45th, which I admire the grit and determination, but he really was not there. You know, he should have came off as soon as he got hurt. But then once, who did we, Paqueta moved up to right wing. So we already had another guy out of position there. And then we brought on Frank Kessie, which is cool. You know, he was happy to see him back. But we moved things around. And then we brought Calabria on for midfield. And it was just, yeah, it seemed like all of our subs were just out of place. They shouldn't have been the way they were. But ultimately, we got a point, and that's always a good point to take against Napoli.
Yeah, I suppose sometimes game situations do that to you with substitutions. But Maddie, collective effort wise at home, it's not really been there this season. You know, we've had a lot of games where we should have got results, like perhaps the game against Lazio where we were hit on the break late on. How come we managed to get a point from this game?
I think the team is finally starting to take to Pioli. I mean, you can just tell the team is playing with so much more confidence than the first, you know, seven games of the season where they looked like they didn't know what they were doing. And I think the key in this game was playing Bonaventura because, I mean, I feel like we've been missing him since the middle of last season. I think if he was healthy all last season, I think we would have made Champions League. And he is 30. He is coming back from wrecking his knee. But I still think that he can be the heart and soul of this team because he is the hardest worker on the pitch any day of the week.
Yeah, a lot of the good stuff seemed to come through him during the game. And interestingly, he came out and did an interview earlier today where he said that he feels much more at home when he's playing on the wing. The closer to the goal he is, the better he feels. And I kind of got that impression, you know, from him during the game, being given the freedom and not having to necessarily play that box-to-box midfielder role. He looked to really come out of his skin. And he was one of the big positives, obviously getting on the score sheet. Mm-hmm. The way he celebrated, you could see how much that meant to him. And we've been missing that. And all we've been talking about all season is about how we're lacking leadership and we're lacking players, you know, with experience at this level that know what it means to play for this club. There's the guy right there, you know. As you mentioned, he's 30-year-old, but he's racked up over 150 games for us. He's scored some really important goals. Yeah. He's been part of some important moments. You know, this could be... It is like a new signing for us. You know, I don't like that whole saying of, you know, player coming back from injury was already in your squad being like a new signing. But with him and Caldara, who's, you know, supposedly going to be about 2 weeks, according to Pioli, we have there, you know, two core players who, if they integrate into this system and they learn the ideas as quickly as we hope, then it is a bit like a fresh start for us in a way. And it makes January perhaps not look as desperate for us in terms of the moves that we have to make. But yeah, he was good. Conte was good as well on the right. Again, I think it would be fair to say it's three good games in a row for him now. So perhaps we don't, you know, need to go all out for a right back in January. But of course, there's still going to be doubts about who his backup is, given that Davide Calabria has not been particularly great. Krunic has been pretty impressive as well. There's odd, like, individual performances in there that you think there's something starting to come together here. And I'm glad that we finally got a point on the board to show for it, really. But yeah, it was good. It was a good atmosphere as well. I feel like a lot of the media attention has been, especially, you know, with regards to our supporters, being that they're still coming out in droves. You know, there was over 65,000 there, I think, for the game. So the support is still there, and I think that that's good because it would be easy to protest in games like this. We were 14th in the league. We're now 13th in the table. So it would be easy for them to turn their back. But it was there. It was good. There was a couple of things that happened sort of off the pitch that have ended up stealing the headlines a little bit. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So before the game, as is customary in the Italian broadcasts, they sort of show the inside of the dressing room before the game, see the players preparing and that kind of thing. And a lot of people's eyes were drawn to the fact that Lucas Biglia, Frank Kessie and Ante Rebic, I think it was, were all on their phones, you know, in the hour up until the game. And people lost their minds and said that there's no place for mobile phones in an intense kind of dressing room environment where everything in that moment should be built towards preparing for the game and stuff like that. Other people said, oh, it's, you know, it's normal. This is the kind of thing that happens in all football dressing rooms, regardless of what's going on off the pitch, on the pitch, etc. And then Lucas Biglia's agent decided to come out and say that he was checking the Milan app.
That was just like a joke. But I mean, I feel like if this was last season, I mean, Gattuso would not have let that happen. But if this was last season, people would not have cared. I think it's just the state of the club right now that people are just on edge. It's also 2019 and everything is on your phone, you know? So I feel like we don't know what they were doing. They're probably on social media or talking to their buddies, but I mean, they're some of our worst performers so far this season, and it shows because they're not concentrating. So,
yeah. And, you know, one of the other things is two of them were starting from the bench with realistically not expected to play at all. Granted, both of them did. And that's Krunic, or I'm sorry, not Krunic. I don't know why I keep mixing them up, but Rebic and Kessie. And as for Biglia, yeah, his agent's just, he's saying stuff to save face, and I think it's silly. It would have been better if they just kept quiet and didn't say anything, because everyone knows what he said. He was checking the Milan app for the Napoli lineup. We all know that the Napoli, sorry, the dog's in the way. We all know the Napoli lineup was known an hour before kickoff. This was a few minutes before kickoff. And to think that Pioli hadn't told them this is how they're lining up, or they didn't see it already. Come on, everyone knew exactly how they were lining up. Now, maybe he said, like, hold on, was it playing right center mid or left center? I don't know, one of those things, and he checked it there. Sure, but realistically, no one's doing that, you know?
For Pioli, I guess it would be more important, because I think the rumor was that, I don't know if this is true. We'll never know if it's true, because honestly, this Milan app thing could be a big cover-up in itself, but about there being a late change to the Napoli lineup. And obviously, if you're Bilia and you start in the game, you're thinking, all right, you know, how does my responsibilities change and stuff like that? I understand that, but
why would you be on your phone? You have coaches to tell you what to do.
Right. Everyone in that room would have been aware of that and thinking about it, and they could have figured it out together and discussed as a team instead of, I've got to figure this out just for me.
Instagram
looking at swimsuit models. Let's be real. That's what we're doing.
It makes me wonder what it's like in a dressing room before a game. I mean, obviously they show on the cameras, you know, what it's the players talking to each other, trying to get in the zone and all that kind of stuff that athletes do. But it makes me wonder, like, where's Pioli in all of this? Is he going around talking to players individually, telling them, just reminding them of their role and stuff like that? Or is he in a different room with his other staff, just, you know, tweaking tactics? That I honestly, I don't think we have any idea what a dressing room culture is really like, regardless of seeing that footage. And
that's true.
Bilia's agents come out and, you know, he's been outspoken in the past, and that's just about Bilia's future. So of course he's going to come out when his client's getting a bit of stick on social media and stuff, and try and save face a little bit there. But I don't think he had to say anything. I'm with you. I don't think it was particularly necessary.
Now, had he have just used because in the first half of the quotes was just talking about how Lucas has always been a model professional, all this, he's never disrespected the club. And I agree with that. He always has. He never complains, even when he's not doing too hot and we're complaining. But that's all he had to say, you know? I guess there is the possibility this app is new. Milan's been pushing a lot. What if their plan was to have the players on it and show that, and it just backfired, you know, and the cameraman messed up, you know, because we didn't see anyone else. And no, we never saw anyone's actual phone screen. So, I mean, I think that's a stretch and probably unrealistic to, like,
sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, it's a guerrilla marketing, you know, but it's
right.
They failed going viral or something. That sounds like a Milan idea. It's just, let's make a viral video and then mess up.
It makes me think, though, what if you're a player, do you really need the app? Surely all the information that you need is
what I'm saying.
Up.
Yeah.
You have more information than the app.
But if they need the app, then the club's in much bigger disarray than we ever thought.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what? Like, you mentioned we don't know locker rooms, and you're right. But I know from school sports, we didn't have any of those. Granted, back when I was in school playing sports, we didn't have smartphones. I think my last year of schooling was when smartphones became a thing. So no one was checking their Twitter 24/7 like we do now. But I don't know. I agree with everyone else. The mentality should be a lot more focused and just interacting with your teammates, you know, or whatever it may be. But
I think even if there's a temptation to be on your phone, you need to not. You just don't do it. You know, the cameras are in there. They knew the cameras were there. So
yeah,
that's what that worries me, that they're that thick that they didn't think to. I mean, Kessié tried to hide his phone.
Right.
To be fair,
so, and that to me says that none of this is legit, that they all were just on their phones.
Yeah, that's fair. In other news, Piontek hates children.
What?
Please tell me.
You didn't see the fist high five?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see this.
It's not a video. It's a picture, so it doesn't really tell the whole story, but it caused a bit of a reaction when we did an article about it earlier. There's a still that came out from Piontek before the game, you know, when they get off the team bus and they're walking through with the suits on and stuff. And to be fair, the way that I can see it, it's slightly cut off on his right arm, but the way that I see it, he's walking past a line of kids who were all like mascots for the day, and they're all holding their hand out, you know, to get a high five from him. He's got a coffee in one hand there, and he's got his wash bag tucked there, and it looks like he's got his other hand tucked into his jacket pocket. So instead of just taking it out and like high-fiving the kids, he's got his headphones in and he just walked straight past them.
Maybe he was reaching for his phone to show him the Milan app.
Yes, excellent work.
Wow, yes. I didn't know that. That's funny. I must have missed that. Wow.
It's just like, you know, we spent a good half an hour, I think, last week ranting about what Piontek did wrong in his interview and talking about his next move and stuff. So it's not a good look. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you make sure that you ruffle those kids' hair and you sign whatever they need signing, mate. You got to get back in the good books and also get subbed off with 5 minutes to go. And what's happened for the first time? He got jeered.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I think slowly it's starting to turn now, where people have been behind him because of what we saw last season, you know, up until towards the end of the season when he had a bit of a mini goal drought. And he's been behind him this season, acknowledging that the whole team is struggling. But now, after the interview and stuff, and this idea that perhaps he's not pulling his weight, and, you know, I've seen people counter-argue that, saying that, you know, he's not getting any opportunities, he's not getting the service, he's not going to score. I just disagree with it. He's averaging comfortably more shots than anybody else in the team. He's averaging something like 2.9 shots per game.
In this game against Napoli, sorry to cut you off there, but just agreeing with you, in this game against Napoli, there was a point where, I can't remember who, I believe it was Paqueta when he was at right wing, or it was Paqueta to Kessié to Piontek. Yeah. And he was standing dead center right on top of the penalty spot. A perfect shot. I mean, granted, defenders were closing him in on him, but as soon as he bury that last season.
Yeah.
Most strikers would bury that. Yeah, Zlatan, the guy we're supposed to get, 11 out of 10 times buries that. Piontek took a terrible touch on it and gave it away. I mean, the service thing, just it's not an argument anymore. He's just been bad, and just plain and simple.
Yeah. I mean, we need pretty bad.
Andre Silva, the guy I'm wearing right now. We need him back. Oh, go.
You change your jersey.
Spin around. Let's see if you can see it.
Oh, wait. You got 69, no?
Blurred out, so I don't think they wanted us to see it.
Oh, yeah.
69, it would have been blurred out. He messed up again. And you look back at decisive moments in games. Obviously, we went and lost 1-0 at Juve, and he had a free header from Asusa. Cross should have done a lot better. Those are the kind of things where you look back and you say the service argument doesn't hold weight anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we paid 35 million euros for a half a season wonder. That's
paid in full.
And that's starting to dawn on me a little bit now. I wrote something earlier which Maddie kind of semi-contested for a little bit, but then came around to my way of thinking. Just like if someone comes in January and offers a loan and Ibrahimovic is coming, I let him go out on loan. Because we don't need we don't need, you know, it's better keeping Liao around and having him play off Ibra than having Piontek, who is essentially a non-playing player at this point. Like, he just offers so little. You know, his passing percentage is something like 72%, and people want to say that his hold-up play is getting better. It's not. Everything about him at the moment is just shocking. Like, we can't
keep
playing him. He
shoots at every chance he gets.
He's snatching at it. You know, he came off the bench in that game against Lecce and put us 2-1 up. He couldn't really miss, don't get me wrong, but he put himself in a good position and he just rolled it into the far corner. But then this is where the frustrating thing comes for me, is that all we keep hearing is once he gets that goal from open play, he's going to kick on now. Doesn't happen. It's not happened yet. Mm-hmm. And can we keep waiting? No, I don't think we can. And I seen something in the... I need to get the paper right. I think it was Gazzetta dello Sport who said that his valuation's now dropped to 25 million, which if someone offers 25 million in January, so I've heard that, like, you know, like Chelsea are after a backup striker, Real Madrid want a backup striker, and Piontek wants to go there, all these kind of reports that come out. Someone offers 25 million, I'm taking the loss, because it looks like we've got a 5 million euro striker on our hands at the moment.
He would be horrible in the Premier League. Horrible.
Oh, he'd be god-awful.
It would strike just like another Morata style.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of that pure finisher mold, but his movement was a lot better and he was much better in the air. So, I think he'd struggle. I could see him, though, depending on what Real Madrid did, you know, you can sort of see him going and being a flat track bully in La Liga for them, because they're struggling a bit this season, but they still seem to score like 3 or 4 a game, and he'd probably get one of them. But
what
I don't know.
His yearly salary with us, do we know?
It's not actually that much.
I think it was like 1.5.
Google that.
I don't know. I thought it was above 2. I could be wrong. I just kind of pulled that out of thin air. But the point of that, while you look it up, nice. While you look that up, Ollie, the point that I was trying to make is, remember, we paid up front, the 35 million, the way the books work, even if we take 25, that covers his wage for the rest of the season, and that on the books is still a profit gain, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we take that in a heartbeat. We use that. We replace him with Zlatan, who we all want. We all know would help us. Even at 38, he's an improvement on this current Piontek. Not last season's, but this one we got now. And unfortunately, we don't have time to wait for improvement. We need immediate help, and that's the only guy available now that could, I think, do that for us.
1.8 mil is the answer, yearly. Okay. Yeah, so that's low. That's low. I mean, I was looking up our list of salaries. Caldara earns, this is, again, Gazzetta Dello Sport, is what they published in September, like they do every year. But Barini's on 2.5.
Right.
Caldara's on 2.2. Belia's on 3.5. So, you know, to be fair, it was only half a season. He was earning less than half that at Genoa, I believe. So he was going to take the double pay and, you know, sign no matter what the contract. But... yeah, perhaps not as big a...
Realistically, in January, we could see Kessier leave, Piontek leave, hopefully Borini. I heard Genoa and Crystal Palace wanted him. And there's another guy who was looking for a way out, or like was rumored to be out, correct?
Why haven't we played Borini at all?
Well, come on now.
Lord,
you know why.
Yeah. So I want to bring
last
in a question.
Last season, he played great off the bench.
He did. He definitely gave his all and helped out, but I think... the situation we're in now is too dire for calling on Borini. Like, if that's the type of savior, it's only going to piss off the fans.
If he had Europa League, or, you know, we get an easy Copa game, then maybe he gets a run out. But, yeah, I'll bring in a question here that we got, which is quite a good one. It comes from Christian Espinoza. Says, if some miracle happened and we were able to sell each of these players, what's a price you'd be happy to get for each of them? So we got Sousa first on the list. Let's do it as a quick fire round.
30.
Oh, I think we could get more than that. It's 45.
25. I don't see anyone paying over 30 mil, not with the season that he's had. I think if he managed to get a couple more goals, a couple more assists between now and January, then we could see that. But
who's his agent? Is it Lucci?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought he fired his agent.
No, sorry. He split with him in Raiola.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Raiola's a PR machine. He could play it up like it was Gimpolo's fault for playing him out of formation. You could only look at it since Pioli, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I bet Raiola could force it up. But then again, he doesn't really care about the transfer fee. He cares about the agent.
Apparently he wants to renew.
And that's fine, too.
13 million. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was going to say, that's not fine.
Piontek?
I'd take 25.
25.
I'd take less, honestly.
I would go as low as 15.
I'd take 20. I'd throw him in. Like, the interesting thing for me is, if I don't think it's true for a second, but let's say a team like Real Madrid is interested in him as a backup striker, I'd probably ask for him as part of a deal, to be honest.
I would too.
Like,
yeah.
Give us Isco, or give us Brahim Diaz, or give us you know, some exciting youngster in return that we actually have a use for. Maybe even like a Lucas. Wait, Lucas Vazquez play there still?
No, he's gone, isn't he? I thought he was gone.
Is it PSG now? I don't know.
Should, I doubt he's there.
Know about La Liga.
But regardless, I agree with you. You know, if Real Madrid says, "Yo, we want Piontek," I'd say, "Okay, we'll give you Piontek. Just give us this player, and we'll throw in a little bit of extra cash." Mm-hmm. I don't mind taking that loss on a new player, you know, because our goal is to replace Piontek anyways. So why not do it and try and recoup it anyways?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Then we could pull in a younger winger or something. Then we have the option to replace Sousa if need be.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah. Yes, it's a sound strategy. I just don't think that he's going to get that much interest. Like, no, the only credible thing is a loan back to Genoa, which says so much about how things are.
Genoa in that situation, though. I mean, to sell him for 35 million and then take him on loan probably at half wages, which is what they already paid him before anyways. It's like we just gave him free money.
Yeah, but if he's not
some
scoring, though.
With Genoa in the past.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they obviously Kwame's out for a long time, so he's going to be like the focal point of any attack for them. So who knows? He might go, but apparently he doesn't want to go back there. So, you know, when he's on about moving somewhere for 60, 70 million, I don't think he's thinking about moving back up north. Where
you got to,
south to Genoa.
I don't know. They're in the same region, whatever. But you got to, like, to move to a bigger club for more money, you got to perform, you know? Like, he could talk about all he wants, but the reality is he's in a downward trend right now, so the clubs that are going to be interested are a lesser club, and it is what it is. Sucks to suck, but get better. Mm-hmm.
Send him to Torino for Bellotti. That's the answer.
Honestly, I don't think I would do that. I don't like Pioli.
Oh, no, you don't, do you?
No.
Ricardo Rodriguez.
8.
10.
10. Yeah. I mean, that's a difficult situation for us. We've kind of discussed it before. It's hard to navigate because we then don't have a backup left back, but he's obviously going to want to leave because he wants to be in the Switzerland squad for the Euros. So I'd say potentially sell him for 10 mil and use some of that, or if we need to use all 10 mil and get Kozawa in, if he's happy to come and, you know, be a backup. But I don't know if he is, because obviously he's got a cushy little backup job at PSG at the moment. I don't know why he jumped ship for us, but
which, by the way, a few weeks ago I said he was one of my unknown favorite players, so I was really excited to see that.
Got a cool name, you know, because that was a great name. He sounds Japanese.
Yeah. Ricardo Rodriguez gets called up to this national team right now. Why would he not get called up for the Euros?
That's true. Wait, who else is a backup? I don't even know.
He wouldn't be match fit. Simple as that. If he doesn't play,
well, also
between
now
and the end of the season, they will have another left back. It's a big country.
No, that's it. There's 11 players in the whole country.
I'll play
like 111, and that's it.
I must have Swiss heritage somewhere with my surname.
I don't think they want you.
I don't know, mate. I think I could do a job. More of a centre back, though.
It'd be a job, right? Not a good one.
Çalhanoğlu.
15.
Not sell.
Yeah, I mean, preferably I'd keep him, but I think 15 is realistic. We're not going to get 20 for him, but anything less than that's rude.
I don't know. We'll see what happens now, and whether if Çalhanoğlu comes back into the starting lineup, he plays as a winger again, or if he gets transitioned back into being a midfielder with Bonaventura being back and playing well as a winger. We'll see how that happens. But I've just, for some reason, over the last couple of weeks, developed this fascination with promoting Bresciannini from the Primavera and having him in as a replacement for like Kessié, or if we sell Çalhanoğlu. He's got 8 goals in 10 games in central midfield. He's the captain. He obviously played in the International Champions Cup in pre-season and looked really solid. So I think that's one of those where
Division 2 Primavera team.
You can't argue with stats. That's a fair point. We got a good question as well from Juan Melendez, who said, do you think it'd be a bad idea to try the number 9 from the Primavera? I think he means Luan Capani. But we've got a few players in the Primavera that are doing well. Pecorino's got 6 goals. Capani is on 5? My answer to that would be, let's not blow up the season just yet. You know, if it gets to the last couple of months of the season and we're still in like 12th, then I think you start blooding in some of the youngsters, but it's a bit early to throw the white flag. I think if anybody gets up, it'll be Daniel Maldini, to be honest.
I'll say, where's he at? Is he doing well?
Well, he got a call up this last week.
I saw him on the sideline. Yeah.
Well, I think he was like supposed to play. That was the plan. But then with Suso's injury in warm up and then Rebic getting injured in the game, I think it kind of changed it up there, because you saw Calabria come into midfield. So we obviously needed someone more reliable, and we went with the right back in the mid instead of a midfielder who's, I don't know. It was.
Maldini can play as a winger, which is going to be interesting, because if a hole opens up there, you know Paolo's going to be braying all these off the star and saying, you're giving him a game. I think we will see some of these players play in the first round of the cup or something like that, because we don't have the Europa League to play him against Luxembourg teams. Now, and
I have a question.
Do the launch.
With Çalhanoğlu, you're right. I think Bonaventura is going to be the starting left wing, and Krunic has every claim to that left center mid spot. There's no reason to take it away from him. He's done well in every game he started. So with that said, Çalhanoğlu is now a bench position for either of them, which is a really good option to have someone who's versatile like that. But
he won't be happy.
He won't be happy, and that's the least bit of my concern. I don't care about his happiness. No, that sounds a lot ruder than intended. It doesn't matter.
That's the title side.
Yeah. What I was getting at was, if we're trying to get Zlatan in, we don't have any good numbers available to him. We get rid of Çalhanoğlu, now he's got a 10 he could take, you know?
Right.
No, so he can't do it.
He can't. Same season, huh?
You can't use the same number. Yeah. But Zlatan's taking 18.
if you bring in Zlatan, you want Çalhanoğlu, because Çalhanoğlu is pretty good at feeding the ball in the box. No one can finish.
That's true. Get rid of Barini. Give Zlatan 11.
That's my one reservation about selling Suso, potentially, is that if you give Suso something to aim at, someone who's actually going to score headers and score volleys and stuff, I think his stats do stack up a lot better.
I agree. I think everyone is going to look so much better with Zlatan there. I mean, we saw it when he was here with Notarino and that whole squad. Rubinho looked well.
Rubinho was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's yeah. Hakan, I agree with you. I think he's someone to keep around, and he's never really, apart from saying that he would one day like to play for Bayern Munich or whatever, which is fair enough, to be honest. He's never really expressed a massive desire to leave. So you're holding out for like 50, 20 mil.
Why isn't Castillejo in discussion to leave? I mean, obviously he's injured, so nobody's going to buy an injured player, but he's not going to be injured forever. And he's
add depth.
Yeah,
I think wing depth, but I don't think he's the answer to it.
Çalhanoğlu, a bench player now who could play really both wings and the midfield position. I don't think we need a Castillejo. I think Çalhanoğlu will cover that well enough.
I much prefer having a Castillejo type if needed to be more direct, because Hakan's not going to run in behind. He's not got the same amount of speed. He's a completely different winger. I mean, I've said all along, legs. Castillejo's like a budget Deulofeu.
Castillejo doesn't have legs. He's running on toothpicks. And
dude, the problem those are snapping. With Milan the past 5 years is we have no depth. And right now we're talking about selling our entire depth.
Yeah, but our depth is shit. I guess that's the argument.
The only reason I'd
rather
down
not
with
have
it,
or have shit.
I'd rather have shit. I'd rather have good starters. And if that means sell the shitty depth so that we could bring in high-wage players like Luka Modric, Ivan Rakitic, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, then to hell with all the shitty backups. Yeah, all the itches. I got three itches.
Got an itch
99 problems, but an itch ain't one. You know?
Oh, that's the title, sorry.
There's the title, you're welcome.
Yeah. Kessier.
Oh, man. 25. What did we sign him for? I don't remember. Like, what was the official price? Was it like 22, 25, something like that?
28? 22.
That's a tough one, because I feel like we could get a profit for him, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we didn't.
There's something about with the thing that you alluded to earlier with Piontek about the amortization of the payments. Yeah. We only need to sell Kessier for 80 mil, even though he's only been ours permanently for 6 months.
Right.
We only need to sell him for that to make a capital gain. I think he's a goner. I genuinely think he's a goner. Obviously, we had that report from Vito last week, basically saying that the relationship's kind of broken down between him and the club, and it's over a number of things like, you know, poor behavior, stuff in training, and I think he's a goner, and I don't think it helps our position that we've had to deal with him like this, you know, by dropping him from the squad for Juve and, you know, dropping him for Krunic, because it kind of drives down his valuation a little bit, because other clubs will be looking at it saying, oh, they want to get rid of him. But I'd take like 25. You want to start with 25. He's still 22 years old, and he's had a couple of really good seasons in Serie A. So I think he's the kind of player who could genuinely go to the Premier League and dominate. Not dominate.
I think
he's a tank.
I think he would do fantastic at Wolves. They're already, they have a strong core regardless of their position. Where are they right now? They're like sixth or seventh or something like that?
Yeah, they're up there. They're in the top half.
Yeah, I think they would do even better with Kessié. I'd
be asking for Ruben Neves in return, but I don't think it'd go down
that
very well.
It wouldn't happen. That would be another deal where we'd have to give Kessié away and then ask for more give more on top of that to get. Hey, would you shut up? Sorry, my dog's barking.
I didn't even hear him.
Oh, well, he's like doing that little growl under his breath. I don't know.
He clearly doesn't like Ruben Neves. Clearly, yeah.
Me either. Not Matt Robson.
Calabria, if he has to go, how much are you selling him for?
I'm not selling him.
No.
Yeah, I'm not selling him either.
I maintain my stance that Conte's had a couple of good games, and I'm going to give him credit for that, but I really don't think that he is. I still think Calabria is the answer long term. I really do. Same. And I'll be gutted if we just offload him on the cheap, you know, given that he has shown for a stretch of games in the past that he can be really, really solid. And it just amazes me that you look back at that Gattuso team that went on the run of like 11 wins out of 13 to start the calendar year. And we had one of the best defences in Europe. And we did it with Rodriguez at left back, Calabria at right back, Musaccio and Romagnoli for like the bulk of it. It amazes me that we managed to do it. I
think Abate was a centre back in a big chunk of that too, wasn't he?
Abate and Zapata played centre back together against Parma, and Jose Mauri was in midfield, and we won 2-1. Right.
The only way I see Calabria leaving is if we do like a dumb, like a straight swap with Roma for Florenzi. That's the only thing I could see us doing.
I would take that though.
Aaron thriving.
I wouldn't mind it, but I don't know if I want. Like, I like Florenzi. I think he fits like how we're rumored to switch to 3-5 whatever, but I don't know if it's necessary. I think Conte's a better wing back, and we'd be fine with that. But I don't know. That's the only way I could see him leaving.
Yeah, we got a couple of questions. Again, it seems to be like a reoccurring theme about switching to three at the back. There's occasional reports saying that we're trying it in training and stuff like that. I don't see us doing it at the moment until Caldara's back to full fitness, because we don't have two centre backs to rub together at the moment. It doesn't feel like. So we'd need to have three fit centre backs and probably two in reserve. So that would be, you know, Musaccio and Gabbia or something like that. And then you're playing with Romagnoli, Duarte, and Caldara. So you know what I mean. We'd need to have all of them fit, basically.
And let's go down the list. I mean, Caldara is, you said, 2 weeks away from return, which is great, but it's also been almost like 2 years. So return doesn't mean he's going to be back to normal. And then Duarte just went on the injury list last week. I know it was minor, but still injured. So, I mean, that's a ways away for sure, but I'm not opposed to trying it. Mm. You could see the mentality is switching towards that, at least in my opinion. It looks like that's what we're doing, because we're playing with two wingbacks, and they both get forward, you know? It's going to happen eventually. Right now we're playing like a 2-5-2-1, you know? It's ridiculous.
Does that add up?
Probably not, but...
Yeah, it does. It does add up. Fair play.
Yeah, okay.
It's like the time Maddie named a 10-man team.
With Piontek, we are playing with a 10-man team.
Yeah, we are. That's true.
That's how I felt with Reg.
Yeah, 9-man team. Hernandez as a wing-back makes sense. You know, he gets forward, and we know that he's not too great defensively. I still think Conte's suspect at the back against most good opponents. He will get shown up. It's just whether the back three can work well enough together to cover that and, you know, to allow them that attacking freedom. But I think we are working on it. And if it gets to the point where we can bring in the players for it in January as well, I think that will assist the transition. But Pioli's done it before. Like he's randomly changed formations for different opponents and stuff. And it feels like most of the teams that we get dominated by play with three at the back. You know, it happened with Inter. It happened when we played Udinese first game of the season. And like we do seem to struggle against teams that match up like that. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And last on the list is Belia. I mean, gone a free for me.
Yeah, I don't have any price. I mean, any money that we recoup from him is going to be in salary anyways. So just get him out the books.
Yeah, and that will be big. I mean, he's out of contract actually at the end of the season. So I suppose
one's buying him. The only way it goes is if we give him away for free in January. That's the only thing. Other than that, he's going to a new team, and well, he might retire. I mean, who knows if anyone even wants him?
We could probably sell him for like $3 million. Better than nothing.
Yeah, that's true. I think he
goes to Genoa.
I think he goes for free in January. You know, they need someone. We'll say, look, we got this guy. We'll give him to you. Whatever. Just get him off the books now. Because what is his salary? His salary is up there, right? It's like almost 3 million.
5.5.
Oh my God.
He earns the second most. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How is it? But when he came, you see, I said at the time, and it's a bad take looking back on it, but I thought he was the missing piece. We really needed a good register.
Well, and he was fantastic that season.
It was the season before where he was amazing, and he was linked with like a massive money move to Man United, and then he had like an average season, and then he joined us, but that was when he was 31, so you could see the, you know, his legs weren't there as much.
Right. And everyone knew when we signed him he was a two-year man anyways, and it's just unfortunate that we lost him for however long we did to injury. Luckily we had Bakayoko.
Yeah, with his cheese string hamstrings.
Yeah.
If we get rid of him, we've got to replace him though. And I do like the idea still of signing Torreira on a loan with obligation or option to buy. That's gathered a lot of steam again recently, which I didn't expect to happen with all the crisis going on at Arsenal and stuff. But it seems like he wants to come back to Italy. He was pictured in the stands at the Sampdoria game yesterday. A lot of Arsenal fans are losing their mind, like, don't go. He's been played out of position. His agents come out and said there's numerous teams interested. He's not happy with his current situation. Honestly, I'm going to Arsenal in January and I'm saying, look, we'll take him off your hands. Don't worry about that. 6 month loan option for Piontek.
I was going to say Biglia.
Biglia.
Whatever.
Imagine more we could hurt going there and tear it up. Oh, yeah. God. I don't know, though. Torreira might be part of Pochettino's Arsenal revolution by then anyway, so we'll see. So that's
dude,
the end
imagine of... that if Pochettino goes to Arsenal, oh my god, this shitstorm, dude, it can't happen.
I don't think he would. I think he's going to Spain.
I'd like him to go to Spain, but I know there's rumors that he's going to Arsenal.
Real Madrid, I think.
That's what I say too,
or Barcelona.
I mean, PSG's been thrown out there, but if Tuchel was doing any worse of a job, I'd see that serious, because obviously Pochettino played for PSG. Mm-hmm. So that's an obvious
thing. I would take Tuchel at Milan any day of the week.
I don't like him.
I like him a lot. He's really good with young players.
Take Mark Hughes at Milan.
What?
David Moyes.
I'll take
him. Yeah. While we're on the subject of lists, this is another interesting one. Joseph Calvo has basically listed five players that are currently underappreciated at their teams. Just say yes or no whether you take them.
Okay.
And if it's realistic, because a couple of these, I guess, aren't so realistic. Gareth Bale.
Yes.
Yes. Unrealistic, yes.
But injury prone wingers and he's on a huge salary. I really don't know. Yeah, you take him. My God, yeah, what am I on about?
He takes a salary cut anywhere he goes. Ozil, no.
China, not if he goes to China. But yeah.
Couldn't learn Spanish. He's not learning Chinese.
No, he's not learning Mandarin at all.
Ozil, no.
Yes.
No. Need to change formation. If that's going to happen, we need to play with an out-and-out number 10, and I don't like the idea of that. I think Pioli likes all his players involved and working hard, and Ozil's not that guy.
No, he's not, but he's great still.
He's a good player, yeah. Tyson?
No.
Not for 30 mil. Like, no. God, no. No way. But he can play as a winger, and yeah, and no. We need to go for proven quality.
You just tried to justify it to yourself and you're like, actually no,
it's just that he's begging to come, and like if we get rid of a couple of players again, we're going to need depth, and it might be an option, but
he'd be a great depth player, but not at 30 mil. That's his price, you know. We don't do that. No,
I think he'll be pushed down. I think with everything that he's been saying in the media with the racist case
for him is like 18.
Maybe 15, once we win Champions League, we can have a 30 million depth player, but not right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Emre Can, this is an interesting one.
No.
Midfield depth right now.
Got the Liverpool Emre Can in my head, and I think of that player as someone who is nuts, like really, really good.
I think he's good enough, absolutely, but I don't want to give anything to Juventus.
What do you do, though? Do you play him as the... as the deep lying midfielder, and you move Bennacer up to being a box to box, and then that maybe knocks someone else out the lineup.
Straight swap with Biglia.
I'd do that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last one is Toby Alderweireld. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Easy.
I think he ends up renewing. You know, now Mourinho's there.
Too. I think a lot of players that seemed like they were on their way out are going to stay at Spurs because of Mourinho. They're all going to want to try it, you know.
Wasn't there some rumor about one of the players sleeping with one of the other players' wives?
Or is it that fake? Alderweireld sleeping with Ericsson's wife.
Yeah.
But just as a disclaimer and to avoid a libel case, don't think that happened.
Yeah. No, that was John Terry in real life, though.
That was John and Icardi. But...
that too, yeah.
Was that a rumor then that wasn't real?
I don't
to my knowledge, yeah, I thought it was squashed by both of them. They said that's not true.
Yeah, It would explain, though, if there was a dressing room rift. Eriksen wasn't on that list, but I don't think he's a Mourinho player, really. And I can
think Eriksen's most likely to leave Spurs.
Yeah, and I would take him in a heartbeat.
He goes to a Spanish club, one of the big ones.
He goes to Real Madrid, probably.
Yeah, that's where I think
he goes. PSG or something. Yeah, if Draxler leaves. Yeah. That makes sense. Right, what have we got? Yeah, preview Parma. Right, I don't know much about Parma, so talk amongst yourselves.
We win.
Oh, wow, Kulusevski's really good. We should look into signing Kulusevski. And it's a good job that Isaac isn't on that podcast because he'd be spouting his pro-Swedish narrative. But
Isaac can't speak English. That's why he's not on the podcast.
Agreed.
Yeah. For everyone who thinks his tweets are him, no, I write them. Just kidding. I don't want any of that on me. He does it all himself. I don't write that crap.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So Parma are above us by 4 points, which is a worry. But they've only won one of their last 5 league games, but so have we.
We win this game 2-0. Easy peasy. I think this is the game we've been in dominant style against Juventus and Napoli. Even if we only took 1 point between the two, we keep getting better. And now we got a 3-game stretch of winnable games. And the boys are ready. The boys are back in town. And we're going to smash them home, you know? We're going to crush a few.
Well, that's the end of the pod. AJ just hyped me up.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
Just looking back at the last 5 results quick with you. Drew 2-2 away at Inter, then lost 1-0 at home to Verona, drew away at Fiorentina, beat Roma at home, and then drew away against Bologna. So they're a massive up and down kind of team. Don't really...
Is it home or away?
We're away. Looking at the squads, I'm not... They've got Matteo Darmian, as I say. Kulusevski's good. Juraj Kuchka plays for them, and I like him.
Darmian went to Parma? When did this happen?
Summer transfer window.
What? How did I miss that?
Bruno Alves as well.
That I didn't know.
Got Colombia on the bench. There's a few players that I recognise the name of, but none of which scare the shit out of me, which means we're going to lose 3-0 now. No. But Kuchka's scoring. I don't know. Last season when we went there and drew 1-1, I think Calhanoglu scored and they equalised late on, and that was like a big dent for us towards the end of the season because we kept talking about if we hung on to that game, we'd have got in the top four.
I think that if Bonaventura starts on the wing and Leao starts up top, we can win.
I'm seeing the gradual improvement.
I think it's very possible. I think that the top three for this game might actually be Suso, Leao, Bonaventura.
I agree. Calhanoglu on the two outside mids.
I think Calhanoglu will be on the bench. I think it'll be Krunic again.
Krunic, you're right. Yeah. And then Bennacer.
Yeah, Bennacer will return. And then Calhanoglu will probably come on as a sub, and I don't think it's going to hurt us at all. I just think we're set up for success. I don't see how we lose this game, honestly.
With confident AJ, I like
it. It is what it is, you know.
Back.
I like it. I can see this being nicked by a goal. I think we win. I think we win. We need to score first, without a doubt.
I think they score
clean sheet. It's 2-0, dude. It's 2-0. We win. I don't see anything where Parma gets even a goal out of this. There's no way. We're going to win. We may not be as dominant start to finish as we were in the last few weeks, but we're going to do good. We're going to look shit the first 14 and a half minutes. Someone's going to get yelled at by Pioli.
Shit,
and then
the first 14 and a half games.
14 and a half, mark it. And then we're golden. We're going off from there.
All right, I'll take that bet.
That's fair. I'll say 1-0 to us, and I think Bonaventura scores again. And he celebrates.
Is it another screamer?
It always is with him, honestly.
It's a ball from Suso that comes all the way over, but he's crossed it too deep. But then Bonaventura takes like a weird touch inside and then just hits it with his left foot and it goes across the keeper and in. That's my guess.
See, I think it's going to be Teo running up the side. He's going to be on the goal line or the goal kick line, and he's going to shoot it up top of the box. Bonaventura is going to be right there. First time, top right corner. Next goal is going to be Suso doing his classic cut in curler. Mm. Easy peasy.
I think that Parma's going to score first. Bonaventura is going to score. And then 75 plus, Leao's going to have a breakaway goal.
I'll take it.
Oh, Rafa.
I like that too.
The Boyer. We're definitely losing 2-0 now. No problem. So, just wanted to end. It's a good place to end. Obviously, we're coming up towards the January transfer window. We got a really long question from... I might just call him Valentino. I don't want to put you there. Kaczorek, I'm going to go with. It's an incredible name, that, to be fair. But it is, yeah, it's a great question. We could have an episode discussing some of the points in this alone. But essentially, I think the bottom line of it is, do we trust Boban and Maldini? Do we trust, you know, Elliott management and Gazidis taking us into this January window to fix the mess that they've created?
I do.
I
trust them. I think this window is going to be the first real window. You know, the game plan going into the previous window, which was both of their first one in their new role. Obviously, Maldini was with Leonardo the previous season, but this is a different role than that. And now we have Boban. And so it was their first time doing these things at a club. And the management and Elliott were saying, this is the game plan. You're getting young players. You're going to cut wages where you can. We're going to do this. We're going to find these hidden gems. And that's the hardest job in football, is finding kids who are going to be world-class stars 20 years down the road, you know. But what's not the hardest job in football is looking at 38-year-old Zlatan Ibrahimovic and saying, I want that man on my team. And that's what we're doing. So you can't fail when you do that. And if those are the type of players we're going for, if we're doing that, then yes, I trust them. We're going to succeed. They got the okay from Elliott to go for real players this time, and we can't fail.
Yeah.
I think it's way too early to – like, it's their first time doing this at a giant club. So, like, they shouldn't be given a lot of time to fuck up. But they need at least one season, you know. And starting the beginning of this season was real shitty. They better fix it in January.
Yeah. Well, this is my thing. I suppose you've got to break eggs, I guess, to eventually make an omelet. And I feel like we've made the mistakes now, and we now know what we need in January to go out and fix this. We need experience, and I know that is just such a sweeping word, but we need players that have played at a high level that perhaps aren't getting in at the club. This is literally what Gazidis has said, you know, about what the identity is for the kind of players we're going for. You know, players who have got years of top level football under their belt, perhaps aren't getting a look in at the moment, but would like to come and play for a big club. And if they help drag us out of this mess, then they'll be regarded as a hero. Ibrahimovic is obviously one of them. I still think we make a serious play on Rakitic. It's about time that Boban started using the links that he allegedly has to some of these Croatian players. Modric, I wouldn't be surprised to see us go back in for him if the Rakitic thing falls through. But I noticed that he was like named the La Liga player of the week. Got like a goal and two assists.
Would you guys prefer out of the two, Rakitic?
Rakitic.
I still want Modric.
Modric. Rakitic is a little bit younger.
Yeah, he is. He's
got more time left.
I agree with that.
We could. I feel like, you know, we could perhaps get Modric on an 18-month deal, so until the end of next season, and then Rakitic would still only be 32. So you bring him in afterwards as like the, I don't know, maybe you can do both, but Modric would have to sit sort of deep, and I think he would do really well in Serie A because of the style of play. Mm-hmm. However, you're putting all your eggs in one basket there, and it involves moving Bennacer or dropping him entirely. Whereas Rakitic, we are kind of crying out. I think Rakitic starts over Krunic, you know, or maybe even starts over Paqueta, you know, is a box to box mid with proven quality.
I think Bennacer being a deputy to Modric is more beneficial to us in the long run than Rakitic. Too many itches, but. Yeah, I think with Rakitic, you're obviously helping develop a younger player like Bennacer, who's promising but still pretty raw. But I think Modric would help him grow exponentially. He's one of the best to ever play that position, and it makes sense to have that type of guy ushering in the next generation, even if it's only for 18 months. Same with Zlatan. He's going to help whatever that freaking little youth kid player that was talked about. Capiani or whatever his
Capani,
name is.
Capani.
Like,
and he's Daniel Maldini, like, you know, forwards, they're all going to be looking up to him. And that would be, that's why I'm the same still with the centre back. I think if the opportunity comes up to sign a decent centre back who again fits that idea of being 30 to 32 or maybe even a little bit older, who could come in and do a really good job for a season in a bit, could help nurture along some of the young lads that we've got. Romagnoli obviously is still 24, Caldara's 24, Duarte is 23, Gabbio is obviously 20. So a lot of young lads there. We perhaps even need a little bit of veteran presence at the back as well. So leadership throughout the team has to be the order of the day for January, I think. And I do trust them because, like I said, you've got to make those mistakes. I think they're not all going to be mistakes either. You know, like Benacer looks like a great purchase. Teo Hernandez looks like a great purchase. But I think they've acknowledged that there wasn't the leadership and the experience brought in the summer. And you need to make those mistakes to know that you've got to go out and fix them in January. And I think that's what we'll do. That's it.
Great monologue.
Thank you. Yeah, right. So that's it. We've done predictions and everything, haven't we? Yeah, thank you to everyone who sent in a question. We didn't get to get to all of them, but, you know, hopefully we talked about the topics that were mentioned in the questions. Yeah, for the time being, I guess we'll see everyone in a week's time. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher or at Kilpin Chronicle for some more explicit Milan-based rants and even some anti-Leeds ones. I managed to get one in about Leeds earlier today because of Chilino, which was great. And I've been joined by Anthony Torgrude.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Let us know if you guys like the video format, if you think we're ugly and you never want to see us again. However, it's just something new fun, so let us know what you think. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Torgrid45. Also, shout out IFTV for these cool Coucho hats. They're pretty sick. Yeah.
How much are they paying you for that?
Yeah, I was about to say.
None at all, actually.
So you all get a hat now? Yeah, thank you guys for watching and listening. And question, who looks more like a leprechaun, me or AJ?
You have a bigger beard. Yeah, you get three different levels of facial hair here. You get Maddie with a real beard, me with like a douchey little chin strap, then Ollie just pretending he just started.
AJ looks like a 40-year-old with a goatee.
That's it. Huh? No, well, I'm joking. Yeah, that's it, I think.
Follow me.
There we go.
Thank you very much, everyone. Patrick, we'll catch you in a week's
Patrick,
time.
Mettila in mezzo, Patrick. Palla nostra, Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira. Perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol! Alessio Romagnoli! Alessio! Il gol del capitano ancora! Ancora l'ultimo, come Gilardino, detto ieri in conferenza.